got people here, and then he rings me about Wednesday and says, actually, you're going to teach, okay. So I sat down the next 2 days and I wrote what I was going to teach. And then the Holy Spirit every morning taught me a different scripture and says, no, we'll just shift it. Even this morning he shifted it. So I'm going to take you on the pathway he taught me this week. And it's not quite the notes I have, so I'll flick in and out. You'll just have to put up with that. But I just want to, I feel excited because I feel like the Lord's told us this year for this group, for this area, is about freedom. It's a freedom that has never been experienced before that is going to come. And it's going to touch, it's going to move from here, and it's going to touch many people. And I feel like that's what he wants us to understand. And he's taking us through a preparation for that. And I'm going to just share some of that this morning. I just want to touch, just remind us what we've covered, because we're about to go into a second phase of this. I don't call them phases. We're about to go into a different position on this. And this first series of teachings has been about freedom, personal freedom, about getting in the right space personally. And we've had the first session I did on hearing the voice of God, because he tells us, and I'm going to touch on this again today, he tells us, if you don't hear my voice, you can't move in the will I want you to move in. So we're going to touch on that today. We've had repentance, sanctification, we've had boundaries of protection, and we've had baptism of the Spirit, all things that are foundational. So on that, I just want to share where he took me yesterday, where he took me this morning. I had to use my phone, my Bible on the phone. I've grabbed my Bible, but I grabbed the one where the words are too small for me to read up here. Okay, at home, but for some reason up here. So I'm going to go to my Bible on the phone and just read. So yesterday morning, he took me to 2 Thessalonians 2. And you guys all know, I'd like to get up early. I like to get up and spend my hour, 2 hours with the Lord in the morning before I do anything. Because I find that's when he just reveals so much. That time when we get with him, and I encourage it. It's part of getting close to him. It's part of hearing his voice. And if I'm on a plane at 6 o'clock in the morning at the airport, and we're an hour drive from the airport, I'll get up at 3 if I have to spend those 2 hours, because I'm not going to miss that time and that face-to-face time with the Father, because he wants to use that time. He wants to touch us. So I just want to share, just read through this. I'm going to grab a couple of verses. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture this morning, but I'm taking you through the scripture that he shared this week. Because, his word is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's about touching us. So it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as through the day of Christ had come. So he talks about us gathering together, and he's asking us to gather together, and when we gather together, we gather together with him. And it says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts him above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, in the teaching I come from, years and years ago, my interpretation of those verses was about like an end times position and stuff. And the Lord just said to me, no, I'm going to change that. And he said, this is a part of what he's doing this year. What he's doing this year is he says, I'm not going to let you be deceived by voices that are not mine. I'm going to take you to a position where you're hearing my voice only and not other voices. And he says, what he's saying to me is he says, when you don't hear my voice, you have something sitting aside you or in you that exalts himself above me. And that's what he's saying in these verses. And we are the temple of God. And he wants us prepared as the temple of God. And that's the preparation he's taking us through and has been taking us through to date. And that's what he's about to do. And this is just so clear when you read it in that context and what he's sharing here. And I'm going to share what he showed me this morning in some different verses shortly that just reinforce what he's saying. I'm just going to move on. It says, And it says, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned. Because what he wants, what I was getting here is he's showing that the delusion will be there if you allow it. You've got to cut this delusion out. And the teaching I did last time was about how to hear the voice. And I'm going to go through that. You can go and listen to that again. There's a path that we do that. But we bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now, this is the process we're going through. We've been saved, but we're going through a sanctification process now. And that's what he's telling us in this verse. And that's the pathway he's taking us through this year. It's part of being clean, part of being the temple so God can sit in the temple and we can be the glory that he wants us to be. Because we have to go through a process of cleansing. We have to go through a process to get to the freedom we're supposed to be in. So I'm just going to shift. You'll have to give me a sec as I use my phone to shift to 1 Kings 6. And this is where he took me this morning. And what I find is when I spend the time with the Lord, he'll spend a whole week trying to get a message from me. I'm a bit slow at times. So he'll take me to precept after precept to show that. So 1 Kings 6. I'm just flicking down. Now, this is where Solomon's built the temple. And I just want to say this. There's some stuff that goes with building this temple. What did God do? God sent him the craftsmen. He sent him the people that were needed to help build that temple. And that's what he's doing here. He's sending person after person. He's even raising people up within the congregation that he has prepared for years as craftsmen so that the temple can be cleansed and available for what he wants to do now in terms of giving that greater freedom. Because unless the temple is available to totally receive him, he cannot release the freedom he's going to release. And he says here in verse 12, he says, concerning the temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgment, keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. And the Lord's saying this morning, if you do what he tells you to do, you obey, you listen to his voice, he will perform what he's told you he's going to perform. All of us have had multiple words of prophecy over us. We've had the words. But to perform that, there's a process, there's a sanctification process, there's a walk we've got to go through to get to a place where he can perform those words. And that can take years, and that's why sometimes it can take years for a prophecy that's released to come to fruition. And it's a process that we have to go through and be willing. And he says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the temple and finished it. So this is what we're doing. So how was the temple built? It was built, I was reading through this morning, it was built, it started in one part, then they added room after room after room, they added precept after precept after precept, they added cleansing after cleansing after cleansing to make the temple totally as it was supposed to be for him to dwell in. And we're supposed to walk in that position now. And that's what he's doing this year. These topics we've covered today are about the cleansing process. It's about the rooms being added to the temple so it is clean. And we can walk in that. And then he goes on in verse 19. He says, And he prepared the inner sanctuary inside the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord there. He prepared the sanctuary to set the Ark there. It says in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within us. So what's he saying here? He's built the temple. He's cleansing the temple. He's preparing it. All these topics we have covered today are about your temple, you being ready to receive what he wants to release because he wants the freedom. He loves everybody here. He loves his people. He doesn't want to see you bound up, being under the issues. He wants a release. And this is what the temple building's about. So that was where he took me for the last couple of mornings, and I've summarized that very quickly, but I'll put the notes out and everyone can have a look at those. But he was just showing me that hey, there is a process of what he's doing. And we're about to go to the next part, which is where we've got Warwick and Faye. We've got workshops happening. We're about to do some cleansing through our history, and because it's another room that he needs to clean up. This is about, and it's interesting, when I asked the question, and there's a few of us to get together and we pray on Monday nights, but and talking to the Lord, I asked the question, so what about deliverance? What about, you know, the process I went through? And he said, I'm going to take this people through a process of cleansing of room after room so when they get to the end, the things would have disappeared. They won't need the deliverance that we might have understood or I might have understood when I went through that process. Because he's a loving God. He wants to take you through there in a loving way. And that's what he's doing here. So I encourage you, each of those teachings, if you can't remember what they're about, go back and learn because they are fundamental to what he's doing. They're fundamental rooms to the temple where he wants to dwell. And he wants to dwell fully in each one of us with his light shining out, no darkness inside us. And that's why he tells us in Scripture, I am the light of the kingdom of God is within me. The light shines from us. We walk in that. You cannot walk in the full power. You cannot have the shadows healing unless you walk with that light shining through you. And that's the freedom. That's what he's doing. Now, I'm just, what he's showing me over this week, he just brought back a couple of messages, but showing me right from Genesis, that the great men of God, and I use that generically, great men and women of God, heard his voice. And what he's told a group of us and told me as well, is he wants every one of us to hear his voice. This is not negotiable standard moving forward. Because we're into a new season, we're into a new place that we're going to, and he wants us all to hear his voice. And he reminded me of something he talked about to me a while ago, and I'll just pull out my notes on it. But he was reminding me right at the start where Adam was, he was talking to Adam. Adam heard his voice. That was the natural state of man. It was right there that he was supposed to hear the voice. But what he showed me too is he showed me that, and it says in the scripture that Adam, God walked with Adam. But he highlighted to me that God walked with Adam in his mind. And sometimes he would come down and walk with him, but he walked in his mind. And that's why it says in Romans 12 too, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God is. There's a state we get to through this process, through the rooms getting added, that takes us to a place that we can walk and hear his voice as we're supposed to. And what God showed me when he was showing me the scripture, he showed me that when the fall happened, that mind connection was disconnected. And Adam didn't hear the voice. And that's why the nakedness was there. That he couldn't hear the voice of God. And because it wasn't a natural state. And it was, you can imagine that. You hear the voice of God and then suddenly you don't hear it. And then what he showed me, he says, the only way you can get back to hearing that voice is through the blood of Jesus. And that's why Jesus had to come, so that we could all experience that. And then there's a process we go through. So you are expected to hear the voice of God. This is the natural way as men we're supposed to walk. This is how we walk. And I find as I get closer and closer, you guys be the same, as you get closer and closer, that voice just becomes the voice you hear every minute all the time. That's because he says, we are one with Christ. We are one voice with him. And that's the status. I've got to drop this in. My wife will get upset about this. But when I was young, there was a program I always used to watch. that's my family. That was, and this probably showing my age, but it was called The $6 Million Man. Anyone remember? Yeah. Great. So just listen to that. This was like, I don't know what age I was, but man, this was it. I had to be home every time to watch this program because it was the program to watch. And I still, like, even now it comes back all the time, the theme song. I won't hum it because it comes addictive, but it's a great, great place. But what it is, I mean, in that song, what they did is they took him and they transformed him. Yeah, I'm still waiting for the bionic eye, but it's going to come, I know. The Lord's got this plan for me. He was rebuilt, and that's the process we're going through here. It's not going to cost you $6 million. This is the blood of Jesus. He's paid that price. We walk in that freedom. We walk in it. But there is a transformation process we go through, and that's what we're going through now. We're about to go through another exciting phase. And by the end of this transformation, at the end of the year, I believe what the Lord has said, that there's going to be a freedom that hasn't been experienced before for the people here. It's going to be released, and we're going to walk in that. And I'm going to be a $6 million man, and hopefully I can run like that. I won't run against Scott, but there's some reasons why he wants us to hear his voice. Because the great men of God heard it, but we are all great men of God. We're all called, we're all written about, we all walk in a calling. He wants us to step into being the chosen, and I talked about that previously. We're going to go from being the called to the chosen if you're willing to take that step. But not all the called become the chosen because people won't take that step. A key part of taking that step is hearing his voice. Now he took me to Genesis further, again at the start of the Bible, he took me to Genesis 27 this week. And it's a story about Esau and Jacob. You know how he's gone out and killed the goat and they've done all that bit about feeding him. And then it says in verse 41, it says, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. 42, and the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. And we know how it goes from there. But what the Lord just showed me is, if you think about it, it says Esau heard it in his heart. So how did Rebekah hear it? Rebekah had to hear the voice of God. Or she had to have a prophet that was telling her. Now, there's prophets around, but the Lord wants us to hear the voice. Why did she hear? Because the Lord is about protecting his people, protecting what his purpose is and what his will is. And what he was saying here is Rebecca heard because God told her. Because Esau only had this on his heart. So it wasn't something he'd spoken out. No one could have heard him and taken that and told Rebecca. There had to be a direct link that she got that message. And it was because God wanted his purpose done, his will done here. And that's what I believe, one of the reasons why he wants us to really clearly hear his voice. Because we are taking territory, we're taking ground in this city. And we're going to take more and more. You're taking your own territory back in a number of cases, your personal territory. And in doing that, you need protection. And he wants to speak down, he wants to speak to us. He wants us to understand it. Because he's a loving God, he loves us, he doesn't want us to fall over. We'll be under pressure we don't know how to handle. So he will talk to us and he will tell us. And it was interesting too, because this morning as I'm reading that bit in Kings about Solomon building the temple, it says in there, and we know the story, David wasn't allowed to build the temple because God told him he wasn't allowed to. Again, it was hearing God's voice. And why did God tell him? I believe because it wasn't his purpose, it wasn't his will, we know those things. But God needed to tell him, because God has told me, he said, I made some decisions recently. He said, yeah, I know that was your heart, I blessed you, but that was not my will. And it doesn't mean I won't bless you for that decision, but you weren't in my will. David could have made this decision. He would have been blessed by God, but he would not have accomplished what he was put here to be and to do. And God has put all of us here for a purpose, and David had a purpose, and if he had built that temple, it would have been outside the will of God. And God was using his voice through his prophet in that case to come down and tell David, you are not to build this. So we need that connection because we want to be inside his will. Just going to come back. I said I was going to jump around a bit. So I just want to, one other set of verses, which is jumping to a slightly different topic but related, he gave me this week was Luke 11. So just, and I read these verses, and it says here, I'm reading from verse 21. It says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And I got this and I was thinking, why did you give me these verses this week, Lord? And he says, this is another reason why I need my people to hear my voice. Because he says, I am going to cleanse this week, this year. I'm going to put a freedom in. And he's going to release stuff through that process. And as that occurs, it opens up this possibility here, if you are not hearing his voice, because you allow seven more to come back in. And he was saying to me, this is a consequence of not listening to my voice, because you allow the wrong things in. And he's been very open with us, and I've shared this with Scott, and I think I shared it here, but he said there is people in this group, particularly because of the heritage and what has gone on, they hear multiple voices, but not my voice. And he says, I need them to hear my voice because I want the ones that go to stay away and not the seven to come back. So it's essential that you're hearing his voice. You're putting into practice the stuff I talked about right back in week one. We're going through a cleansing process and we're not going to let the seven come back. Because this is about holding the ground. And I know Jeremy spoke about this. But you must hold the ground, whether it's the meter around you, whether it's this room, whether it's this city or this country, you've got to hold the ground. But there's a process, there's a way to hold that ground. And it's not by allowing things back in. And it comes back to, if you go back to the great men in the Bible, you go back to the Moses, they were in the face-to-face relationship with the Father, with the Lord. They heard the voice and they knew what it was to walk. And I believe that's exactly where he wants all of us as we move ahead now. This is no... And I had some other verses, and I'm going to share them because I wasn't going to share these verses. And then you guys know Phil. He's been down here with Ruth. Like he's in America at the moment, and he sends me this email this morning. I haven't heard from him in 2 or 3 days. And he sends me this email, and he says, you need to meditate on these verses. And they're the verses that I wasn't going to share. So it's like the Lord was just telling me through his spiritual brother that hey, there's a reason I want these verses shared. But I was just going to share the end of it, then come back to the core of those verses. But it says in Deuteronomy 28, 14, it says, so you shall not turn aside from the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And then he also gave me this week 2 Kings 22:2. He says, and he walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. And the Lord was highlighting to me, and he said to me, because there's been a lot of things going on in my life, he says, as you walk this walk now, he says, there's a lot of balloons, there's a lot of distractions, pretty distractions around you. He said, you ought to ignore those, you ought to look in my face, and you ought to walk to me. And you ought to keep your eye on me. And he's saying this here, you're not to look left or right. Because when you look left or right, you allow the seven, you allow those to come at you. So this is now about being like those great men in the Bible. It's about looking face to face and taking that walk. And it's not looking left or right, because there's lots of things that'll distract, particularly when you're taking and holding ground. So I just wanted to share that verse. So can I just refresh? Oh, sorry, just going back to Luke 11, I just want to finish. As he talks about those seven spirits, he goes on in verse 27, and it says, and it happened as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that verse comes after he talks about the seven. He's revealing to us that his voice is the key to holding and being cleansed, being in the ground. And he also revealed to me, because some people at the moment hear the voice more than others, and he says, you can't rely on that, because you're not necessarily going to have that when you end up in a position, when you're in a trial, when you're somewhere where you don't have that voice. You need to hear my voice direct. And you need to know that you can trust it. And you need to obey it. And then he says, because that is so important, because you don't necessarily have the prophetic voices around you. And he said to us in the past, he said, in a group, you've got all the giftings. But he says, sometimes the giftings aren't there. But he said, what I will do is I'll anoint someone else in that group for that time with that gifting and that anointing, so that the completion of the gifts is there to complete what his purpose is. And he does that to ourselves. And that's why at times you'll get something and think, man, I don't normally walk in that. It's because there's someone not there and you're filling the gap. So I just want to refresh what I said quickly, what I said last time. Just there's a way that I suggested you can listen to the Lord's voice, and it's about being in a still place. It's about looking for vision. It's about spontaneous flow, and it's about journaling. And I left you guys with the exercise of journaling last time, about actually writing down when you get into that place of flow. And just write your questions and he'll answer them. Write them down. You'll be amazed at what comes out. Or if you can't write, just record. And he'll just reveal, because he wants to open up and share. He's a loving God. So I just reinforce, this is what you're going to need as we move forward now through the next stages. You're going to need this voice, his voice, not the other voices, his voice. And I also just mentioned the need for having those around you that hear his voice. Don't kid yourself that you've got someone around you that says they hear his voice, because they could be suffering from the problem of hearing other voices. You need to look at their testimony. You need to look at the way they work. You need to look at how have they been repentant? Have they forgiven? Have they moved into the places and the areas that we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks? Have they been through that? Then bring them close to you and listen to their voice. Don't listen to the wrong ones. And you need to be having someone around you to test what you're hearing that's sensitive to the voice of God. You've got to have that, because you've got to know, oh, I think this is what I heard. I'm going to go and jump in on that. I did that for about 3 years until I got so crushed that I got the message, no, actually, there's a time and an appointed place for these things. And they've got to be willing to commit themselves to you. They've got to be willing to, when you want to sit down with what you felt you've heard from the Lord and talk, They've got to be open, and they've got to be there willing to talk to you. And I've said last time, and this is so important, you're not asking for their opinions. You are asking whether they feel you are hearing the word of God through what you're journaling and writing down. So I'll just share the last verse, which I shared last time. It says Isaiah 52:6. He says, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I." He tells us he wants to speak to us. And this is what he wants to do to everyone in this room. So be expectant, walk in it. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, it's. I think that the one of the things that we are definitely trying to do here, and I'm just going to ask our visitors, our brothers and sisters, to come up and set up. But one of the things that we're trying to do here is set up a culture, set up a team environment where people can test those things, where people can have those opportunity to hear things and have them tested out. And I'll tell you, once Darren mentioned the $6 million man, Colonel Steve Austin, one of my personal heroes growing up, absolutely. I thought that idea of being rebuilt, like, I can't wait for that, you know, when we all get it. But another thing that, you know, when Darren was talking about having to have a brother or sister that you can bounce things off of, I often make these phone calls to Darren, and I'm going to show my age a little bit here as well. And it's like Luke when he's in the trash compactor on the Death Star. You know, "Will you shut up and listen to me?" Where he sort of, anyways, okay, fine. So it's a great movie. It's called Star Wars. Maybe you've heard of it, okay? But, you know, we get those panic moments, don't we? Where we're like, you know, we're on the detention level, trash compactor, you know? And it's like, I'm like, "Darren, come on. I need a word real quick," you know? And he's just like, "Oh, I'm sorry. You know, he's like 3PO, you know? And it's like, one of the things I've realized is the Lord is training me through brothers and sisters who have that prophetic gifting for me to have some confidence in what I'm doing. And it's like more and more now that Darren's kind of like, "Well, Scott, what do you feel the Lord telling you?" I'm like, "Bro, would I be calling you if I sort of knew? Just give it up, man." He's like, "Well, the Lord's not telling me." So that's part of what we're trying to do here, is to create a situation where, I've said this once and I'm going to say it again and again and again. When I was learning how to drive, I backed our van into a fence, our neighbor's fence. And I was a child that put a lot of pressure on myself. And I remember my dad was kind of watching me. My dad was a lovely man, a very patient man before he went to be with the Lord. And I remember I got out of the car and I was like, and my dad looked at me and he went, "Well, I guess I know what we're doing on Saturday," you know? And it was like, basically, he was saying, "Scott, it's okay." Like, that happens. And so here's the deal, guys. You're allowed to back over the roses here. Okay? We may tell some stories about it in years to come. That one always, I will guarantee, I'm going to be at my mother's house next Saturday. Guarantee, when I show up, she'll look over at that fence 28 years ago. And she'll be, "Oh, remember when you hit that fence?" "Yeah, Mom. Yeah, I do. Thank you, though. Thank you for bringing that up 30 years ago." Okay. But it's okay. So we want to create that environment. Yeah. Thank you, Owen. So here's what we're going to do now, is we're just going to step into a time of encounter. And once again, if we want to encourage you to stick around and to receive what the ministry that's going to take place, it's just going to be very loose, very free. But at the same time, if there's a, you know, something that you need to do, an appointment or whatever, feel free to come and go, to go and go. But ultimately, we just want to create an environment here where you can just receive from what these guys are going to do. So,
wow, yeah. Let's just give up for Scott and Darren. Come on.